So here's the big question from the weekend. Was Herman Cain doing himself a favor by getting out of the presidential race, or his family a favor? Or was he doing the Republican Party a favor by getting out of the way? Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins us from Washington, where Cain out is really the first subject of conversation there inside the Beltway. Hey, Todd?
Yeah, of course it is. And everybody sat here over the weekend, John, watching the Herman Cain train, which in this case was a campaign bus, roll up to those headquarters in Atlanta for his announcement that he's out.
And, you know, the suspension of the campaign is a technicality related to federal election commission financing, right? I mean, he can theoretically pay debts off if he remains suspended as opposed to canceled. But otherwise, he's out. He's gone.
Right. But keep in mind, he can pay debts. He can still raise money. And can, if they use the right PACs, which they always do, can transfer that campaign war chest to other candidates of his choice, both in the presidential field and in congressional races.
I mean, we can, you know, there was the talk that he got into the race to increase the likelihood of a book deal. What book would Herman Cain write at this point? While you're thinking about that, Todd, what do you think is going on in the mind of Mitt Romney this morning?
Well, this Herman Cain bowing out of the race causes a lot of uncertainty for Mitt Romney, and almost none of it is good. Everybody is after that Herman Cain endorsement now, and there's lots of rumblings. He says he's going to make one. There are some rumblings it might be today. Nobody really knows because his campaign is denying it. But here's the situation. We all know that Newt Gingrich has that lead in Iowa. The average is about 10.2%. Click over to New Hampshire. Romney has a big lead of about 16.5%. And then down in South Carolina, Gingrich is up about 9%. Now, when you look at the trend lines of all these different states, Iowa caucus, New Hampshire primary, South Carolina primary to follow shortly after, the Mitt Romney line, while everybody else, including Gingrich, including Cain, including the other front runners we had earlier in the race, were all bouncing around. Mitt Romney remains almost flat. He never really changes. So Cain bows out of the race, and he's got, you know, Herman Cain's got about 16-17% behind him there in South Carolina. In Iowa, Cain was polling around 12%. A Cain endorsement would mean an enormous amount to either of those candidates, but most likely to Newt Gingrich, and it has to make Mitt Romney really nervous. It can't be good news for him.
But let's look at it a different way. I mean, many people have talked about this sort of front runner game that's been going on in the GOP as basically the social conservatives who don't like Mitt Romney for a variety of reasons,
right,
looking for an alternative. If Gingrich wins Iowa, Romney wins New Hampshire, and then Gingrich wins South Carolina, it's basically an argument for a Romney-Gingrich ticket, period, the end. The social conservatives go with Gingrich. Romney gets everybody else.
It's never, ever as simple as that when it comes to choosing a vice presidential candidate, because then somebody like Romney is going to look at Newt Gingrich's negatives, which are very, very high because of his complicated personal life, his many divorces, lobbying money, things like that. So I think it's too early, based on polling numbers, John, to decide who Romney would choose. It's very rarely just 1-2 in the polls a vice presidential candidate. Hi, Celeste.
Hi, Todd. How you doing? Ask you, though, about these rumblings from the Democrats that they would want Gingrich to win. You've got Barney Frank from Massachusetts saying Gingrich is the best, and I'm quoting here, the best thing to happen to Democrats since Barry Goldwater.
He said that, and Democrats would be excited about beating up on Newt Gingrich for his checkered past. The truth is, Democrats would be excited about anybody except Romney. Mitt Romney is the only candidate that Democrats are afraid of. Every single DNC press release and media blast that I get in the mornings attacking Republicans, they're not attacking the Republican field. They're not attacking Newt Gingrich. They're only attacking one person. That person is Mitt Romney.
Well, that's interesting, though. I mean, Barney Frank says he's the best thing since Barry Goldwater. Newt Gingrich is the best thing since Newt Gingrich, when the Democrats pasted him in the 90s. I mean, in a sense, there's really no one to fear except for Mitt Romney. But if his poll numbers don't rise, why would the Democrats even fear him? And you're looking at the 8.6% unemployment rate.
Mitt Romney this whole time has been running a general election campaign. You hear it in his answers. You see it in his campaign organization. There is a big reason why Democrats are afraid of Mitt Romney. It's because their candidate is weak too, John. Unemployment is 8.6%. The country does not think it's better off now than it was 4 years ago. There's no way to answer that question yes, unless you're the kind of person that politicians don't want to be friendly of, like a Wall Street CEO. So yes, they're afraid of Mitt Romney, both because of his strengths as a general election candidate and their own weaknesses presiding over a country that's on the wrong track.
Payroll tax going to be a campaign issue this week, Todd, before we go?
I don't know if it's a campaign issue. They already got their politics out of the way, but they are working on a deal. And I think I used the words, mark my words, with Celeste last Friday that they're going to get a deal on the payroll tax. They're going to get it. I don't know if it's going to be this week. They will get it before they go home for Christmas, probably bundled up with a bunch of other stuff like unemployment insurance and some other tax stuff.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.